Morning's topic is what we've been learning all week about what stage, what ma'isa is mechayev in ma'iser. And we saw two different gemaras in brachos, which seem to have contradicted each other. And we're going to go through those basic gemaras and go through a number of different answers that we find in the Rishonim, how to reconcile between these two different gemaras. The first gemara which we're focusing on is the gemara in Ketzim Avarachim and Daf Lamed Hayamid Beis. The gemara tells us that how great the Dorish Rishonim were, that comes along Rabba Barchana, Bar Barchana, Amr B'Yochanan Mishun Rabbi Yehuda Bar Lai, Ba Ure, come and see Shaloka Doris HaRishonim, Doris HaChronim. Realize that our later generation is nothing like the earlier generations, because Doris HaRishonim, the first earlier generations, Hayu Machnisin Peroseim, they would bring in their fruit to the house, Derech Tarksimin. Derech Tarksimin, Rashi says, refers to the gates of the chatzar, the gates of the house. They bring them into their house or courtyards, places where they would live. Kedei l'chayv b'maiser, in order that to mechayv themselves, to force themselves to be mechayv b'maiser. As opposed to the Doros HaAchronim, the later generations, machnitzin peroseren, derech gagos, derech chaseros, derech harfifos. The later generations had brought the fruit into these other ways, through their roofs, or through their chatzars, or through their other outside areas. Kedei l'fatar b'maiser, in order to avoid being chayv b'maiser. What's the relevance? How you bring the food in? So they explain, the Amar Rabbi Yanai, Eina Tevel Mischai B'maisa Ad Sheira Pnei Bais. The halacha is, says Rabbi Yanai, that there is no Chiv Tevel. Tevel doesn't exist. Tevel means when the fruit is asur to be eaten because there's now an obligation to take Maiser. So that Chiv Tevel only kicks in once it's Yira Pnei Bais, once the fruits see the inside of the house. Rashi says what it means is really Pesach Knisav Yetziya Lav Dafka. Doesn't mean it has to be inside the house, but as long as it sees the entranceway of the house. At that moment, Rias Pnei Abayis, seeing the house, is when there's a Chiyav Maiser. And he brings a Pasuk, Shenemar Biarti HaKodesh Min Habayis. This is a Pasuk taken from Parshas Kisavo, when the farmer would bring the Maiser Sheni, as we mentioned, to Yerushalayim, and he'd eat it in Yerushalayim, those fruits, Maiser Sheni, there is something called Vidui Maiser. He would make a Vidui, a confession, and said everything he did correct, and he did everything, he didn't do anything wrong. And one of the statements this farmer would say was, I burnt everything from the house. So from this, they indicate that only once it was brought into the house does it become Kodesh. Only once it was brought into the house does it become Meiser. Is it a Chiyah Meiser? And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not when it's brought into the house, rather it's when it's brought into the Chatzir, that's when it's Koveya. But either way, what we see from the Gemara here in Lamed Hayamid Beis, what we pull out, is that it's the Rias Pnei Bais, seeing the inside of the house, is what's Mechayiv in Meiser. That's the stage. When I bring the food inside my house, regardless of anything else, seeing the house, seeing the inside of the house, Rias Pnei Bais, it's what's Mechayiv in Meiser. Then when we turn the Gemara to the Gemara Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, we have a very different understanding. Gemara around 20 lines down tells us, it's actually in the discussion of many other interesting halachas. The context here, the Gemara says that a person should only begin learning not from a din, not from having a court case, and not from a davar halacha where they're going back and forth learning a sugya where their minds are racing all over the place. Rather, they should do a mitoch halacha psuka from a very defined, very simple halacha. Bottom line, based on that halacha, then you should daven. You should have a certain frame of mind. You want to come from thinking in the world of Torah, but you don't want your mind too crazy. You want something very simple. So when the Gemara gives examples, what's considered a halacha psuka? So the comes along Rava and he says, I'll tell you an example of a halacha psuka. It's the following statement in the name of Rav Hoshaya. Dama Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya said, Marim adam al tuaso, a person could do some type of trickery with his grains, umachnisa b'motz shela, and he could bring them in his house through this motz, which is a type of utensil, prior to the shas meruach. I'll explain what this means in a second. Kidei shetei behemas ochla pater min ha-meiser. So if you could bring inside your house before the shas meruach is after you've done all the different stages of the fruit and preparation, and you have this big pile of fruit, and now you spread it out, you smooth out the top, that's called meruach. So it sounds like from this Gemara, it's the Maisa Meruach, the spreading out, the smoothing, is what's Mechayv Meiser. And this Gemara talks about a way to circumvent that, is to place it in some type of utensil prior to ever doing the Meruach. And as long as Meruach has not been accomplished, then it would not be a Chiyah Meiser. Okay, so now which one is the real chiyuv, or how do they relate to each other? Yeah.
First Gemara, I mean, along all, this just doesn't mention bringing it into the house.
Exactly. Does that mention it? Exactly. Doesn't mention it.
Okay.
So it sounds like from the Gemara here, the Gemara doesn't mention meruach either. But the way Rashi understands it, and the understanding is, it's referring to this idea of the motz is before meruach kicks in. So let's just look at Rashi a little bit here. Rashi in Daf Lamed Aleph tells us, "Bemot shela, kodem shi'zara osa." Before you do the winnowing, zara is winnowing. Winnowing is when you take up the chopped up grains and you throw them in the air, so the wind would take all the shaft, the light stuff, and send it off, and the heavy kernels will drop to the ground. That's zara. So before they would perform zara, shein mechskay b'maiser min haTorah el b'rias p'nei bayis. Ooh, Misha Nimrach Bikri. You need two factors, says Rashi. You need to have to see the inside of the house, plus you have to do the Maisa Meruach. Aval Lifnei Meruach, says Rashi, before you've done the Maisa Meruach, Ein Rias Pnei Bayis Kavasa. If you haven't done the Meruach, I don't care if the fruit actually saw the inside of the house, without Meruach, it's not Machayv Meiser. And that's why this idea, the Heter, the eights of the Gemara is, if you want to avoid Shas Chiyav Meiser, what you should do is, before Meruach, before you get to that stage, bring it into your house prior to that. Because you don't have both factors. So it sounds like from Rashi, pretty clearly, that you need both elements. You need the element of the Meruach, and you need the element of bringing inside your house. So what role do they play? Which one's the real Iker Chiyav, which one's not? And how they relate to each other. So again, the Gemara Laman Ahei tells us it's Rias Pnei Bayis, and the Gemara Laman Aleph seems to indicate it's Shas Meruach. And how do we square the two Gemaras together? So if you look at the Rambam, I don't have the Rambam in front of me, but the Rambam says that, I may have it here.
There you go, turn.
So you're saying Laman Ahei is Bayis and Laman Aleph is both.
Right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah?
Yeah. Both. So Rashi interprets as being both.
And do we have somebody else's interpretation, or are we going to get to that later?
We're going to go through all that now.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos in Maseches Shumos, he has this line where he says, this was Mishnah Gimel, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Rambam Mishnah Gimel says, Ha'ikr etzleinu, the primary factor when it comes to Meiser, she'ein ha'tevel mischai b'meiseros ad she'yir p'nei bayis. The most important factor is rias p'nei bayis. That's what he says here. And the reason why you're not chayv earlier is because the fisha hu achilas arai. Because prior to entering the house is considered eating a snack. Okay. That's what the Rambam says in Perish Mishnayos. And the Rambam says something similar to that in the in his Mishnah Torah. I'm going to get the Mishnah Torah for a second. This is in Hilchos Meiser, Per Gimel, Halach Aleph, Halach Beis. Hilchos Meiser, Per Gimel, Halach Aleph through Halach Beis. Oh, the last sheet. Oh, okay. So the Rambam writes here, Peiros she'gil onas ha'maisos. When fruit get to the size, the different size for different fruits, when it's considered a fruit, and chayv ha'maiser, uvenislashlu, and you remove it, v'adayin lo nigmar melachtam, but you didn't finish doing all the work that you needed to do. For example, you cut it and you threshed it, but you didn't do the winnowing yet. Or you didn't do the meruach, or you didn't do the smoothing out. It's permitted to eat achilas arai until you've completed the melacha. But once you've completed the malacha, it's asr to eat. It's the chiyav tevel. The chiyav meiser, there's an isr tevel. It's all about the meruach. That's the idea. It's the shas meruach. He doesn't make any mention of rias p'nei bayis. But then he says, that's only true if I'm trying to farm in order to sell. If I'm farming my land in order to eat for my own house, then you also need the rias p'nei bayis.
Say again?
If I plan to, this whole idea of the Shas Meruach of smoothing out, that is the Chayv Meiser, that's the only relevant factor.
Yeah.
That's only when I'm farming my land for the purpose of selling. Not to take in my own house, but to sell. There's no Rias Pnei Bayis, I'm not bringing inside my house. But if I'm planning on bringing him home, so I'm allowed to eat until I finish all the other Melachas as well. which seems to be Rias Pnei Bayis, but he doesn't say Rias Pnei Bayis. So it's very complicated, but within the Rambam, what the Mikdash David explains is as follows. Mikdash David, Rav David Rappaport, in the very brilliant Sefer Mikdash David, which focuses on Kachim and Zeraim, there's a Rebbe in Or Chaim in Queens, a high school Rebbe, who wrote a wonderful set of Ha'aros on the Mikdash David. So Mikdash David, what he writes is as follows. For the Rambam, the Iker moment where the Chiyuv Ma'aser kicks in is Shas Meruach. The moment you've smoothed out the fruit, then you're allowed to, then there's a Chiyuv Ma'aser. But there's a special heter built in. If you're eating it as a snack, Achiyas Arai, then you're still allowed to eat Achiyas Arai, even though there's a Chiyuv Tevel and there's a Chiyuv Ma'aser. So what's Rias Pnei Bayis? Explains to Mikdash David. The moment you bring the fruit into your house, that now makes every achila that you're doing into an achilas keva. There's no such thing as snacks anymore. Once you eat outside and it's more temporary, nothing's set, so you eat a snack here, you eat a snack there. The moment you bring the groceries home, there's no snack anymore. You're inside the house, everything you eat, is considered a keva. You can't eat it until you take ma'aser. Exactly. But really, but the achila that exists beforehand, this time, the moment you're in the farm, you're out in the field and you've smoothed out the fruit, there's a chiyuv ma'aser, but there's a heter to eat snacks along the way.
See the house.
Exactly. But once you see the house, it turns an achilas harai into an achilas keva. So it's not the Rias Pnei Bayis that's mechayv ma'aser. The Rias Pnei Bayis simply turns my achila into an achilas keva. It removes the heter of achilas harai. The Shas Meruach is really the chiyuv, according to the Mikdash Dov's understanding of the Rambam. And that seems to be pretty clear from that Rambam that he mentioned. Oh, he doesn't even mention Rias Pnei Bayis at all in the Yad Chazaka. He says the Gemiras Malacha, and he defines the Gemiras Malacha as Achilas Arai. And that's what he says in Perish Mishnayos when he defines Rias Pnei Bayis, it's about Achilas Keva. So it seems pretty clear. And the Mikdash Dov goes on to bring a number of different rayas for this.
What happened to what the rabbi just said a second ago about the comparison between whether it's you're a commercial farmer or it's for yourself?
Right, because when it comes to a commercial farmer where you're not planning on eating it, so there's no real heter of Achilas Arai, Achilas Keva. I'm not really eating any.
This is what shows us that it said the concept of heter.
Exactly.
Well, why would you bring this to your house if you're a...
Right, so...
I mean, it could be your farm, or your... I mean, your farm is considered your house, you know, so you have a storage thing.
Right, so it sounds like from the Rambam, I'm not sure where the Rambam gets it from, I'm not sure if others agree or not, but it sounds like for the Rambam, if I plan on simply selling it, I don't care if I bring it home or to my storage place, that is irrelevant. The moment I've done Shas Meruach, there's a chiv, I don't plan on eating it, so I don't get the heter of snacking on it anymore. I don't plan on keeping it for myself. So Meruach is the only relevant factor, l'fi the Rambam. So that's the first opinion. Again, Shas Meruach is the Chiv, and Rias Pnei Bayis simply knocks out and neutralizes the Heter of Achilas Arai. Then we have the Gemara in Beya, which leads to the Shita of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who gives a slightly different understanding of these two different factors. The Gemara there is referring to certain situations where the Levi was given the Meiser before the Kohen ever received the Truma. I don't want to go through the details right now, but what the Gemara seems to indicate is that the only relevant factor here is the Shas Meruach, making the Kri, making a fine pile. And the Gemara makes no mention of Rias Pnei Bayis. And Tosu says, no, that's exactly the Kasha of the Gemara. Gemara says, you completely ignored Rias Pnei Bayis. And he explains back and forth, the Gemara thought it should have been Rias Pnei Bayis and says it's not about Rias Pnei Bayis. Okay, very involved Gemara. But after all the dust has settled, Rav Chanan Wasserman explains that you really need both, exactly. And the idea, he says...
So that's the same as Rashi before?
No, Rashi says... Well, the way Rashi reads that we saw in Lamed Aleph sound like they're both equal factors. You need one and you need two. As opposed to Rav Chanan, as we're about to see, is one's really primary. The second one is trying to fulfill another need. As opposed to Rashi, the simple reading is they're both necessary. You need both to accomplish this. Anytime you need two factors, you have to figure out what exactly the relationship, which is the Iker, which is the Tafel.
Okay.
Maybe they're both equal playing field.
Okay.
So again, Rashi's not clear, but the simple understanding is that they're both necessary as equal factors.
No.
So Rav Chanan says differently. Rav Chanan says that he agrees to the Mikdash David that really Shas Meruach, when you've smoothed out the fruit, that's when there's a Chiyuv Ma'aser. So what's the relevance of Rias Pnei Bayis? He has a big Chiddush. The Rias Pnei Bayis is about the Zman Chalos Achiv, the time that you're supposed to do that. So I gave when we learned yesterday in the little Chabur there, the model that I gave was like matzah. When I bake my matzah, sometimes I bake it as early as January. The matzah factories start plugging away in January because they have several months to get a lot of boxes of matzahs ready. So when I bake the matzah, it's really the chefs of shamata exists in January. The chefs of meiser, the chefs at least as a chiv, the chiv tevel exists when I've done the meruach. But I can't eat matzah in January. The only time I can actually have a kiyum, the zman only kicks in once Tesvav Nisan kicks in, Leil Seder. So he says, the only time the chiv kicks in terms of the actually performing it, is once you bring it into the house. So as a chefza, there's a chiv tevel here, I just really can't accomplish anything until I've gotten to the zman. The zman is here, interestingly, not defined by time, it's defined by place. But that place is telling me when I'm able to do the meiser. So as a chefza, the meruach makes the chefza as a chiv tevel, but the Rias Pnei Bias has the Zman when I actually perform the Chiyuv Tevel. And that's what Rav Chanan Wasserman says.
As opposed to what Rashi says, what is that?
Rashi didn't really define the factors. The Rishonim don't always define them so much, but the simple understanding would be that they both are needed. They're both different conditions. What they each accomplishing, Rashi doesn't tell us. The simple understanding is they're just both needed, both required. He's explaining why they're both required. One's again the chefta, the creating of the chefta of Chiyuv Tevel, and the other one is the creation of the Zman.
So when Rav Chanan is talking about the Chiyuv now, the Chiyuv existing, but the Zman of the Chiyuv, is he talking about the Chiyuv to be mafresh the Meiser? Is he talking about the Isser to eat it without being mafresh Meiser? Because you can be mafresh the Meiser before you bring it into the house.
Correct.
So what level of iser is there in eating from this tevel before Rias Pnei Habayis?
Right, so he might have to deal with a little bit with the heter. He doesn't mention all this, but about the achilas arai. I mean, even beforehand, I'm allowed to eat achilas arai before I enter into the house. That's permitted. But once I enter into the house, there's no heter of achilas arai anymore. The only way to eat it is by taking meiser first. So it sounds like even he might agree somewhat to the Mikdash Javid, if you understand what I'm saying. That beforehand, you're right, there's no obligation to take Meiser yet because I could have snacks all I want.
You can't have a
Chilas Kevah. I agree. You can't have a Chilas Kevah, but you could at least have snacks. So there's no real Chiv yet. There's a Kim of Hafrashas Meiser. If I were to take it, it would work, but it only exists as a Kim.
But there's no Isser.
No Isser.
But there is an Isser of a Chilas Kevah, that's what I
Right, so then you have to get into, I want to get into the discussion, there's a Machlokas, whether a Chilas Kevah is an Isser Derais or an Isser Derabanon. Right.
I'm trying to figure out what does he mean by, in a practical level.
So let's
practical
right.
level, what does it mean that the chiyuv exists, but the zman of the chiyuv doesn't exist?
Right. So let's assume for a second the iser achias keva is only an iser midirabanim. So on a deraisa level, I can eat all I want before the chiyuv kicks in. So prior to entering into my house, I have an obligation to take meiser. I could simply eat anything, even achias keva, if I wanted. Right. So forget the Isser Derbanan for now, but I'm allowed to eat Achias Keva. Once I bring it to my house, this Zman Chiyuv kicks in, I'm no longer allowed to eat anything anymore. So I think that's what he's trying, but he doesn't say all this.
Right, because with the Raisa, there's no, it either is or it isn't.
Right. So, but I think for now, it's probably safe to assume, again, from the Mikdash Avod says, that Achias Keva is only an Isser Derbanan. So at the Raisa level, there is a big change of what's going on. So that's the sheet of Rav Chanan, again, that the Meruach is the creating of the Chefza Shel Meiser and Tevel, and the Rias Pnei Habayis is the issue of Zman, when you actually are allowed to or supposed to perform it. Then the third sheet is Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim, I'm sorry I didn't make copies of this. It's the first page in the stencils of Rav Chaim. The very first page, it's only the third shtickle, the fourth shtickle here. So he says as follows, that the Shas Meruach and the Rias Pnei Habayis are two different dinim. Everything has to be two dinim, of course. The Begmar Malachton have Shas Chovason Vizel Aidei Meruach. So he argues in Rav Chanan, the moment you've done the Meruach, the moment you've done the smoothing out, that's the time, that's the moment you're Chayiv in taking Meiser. And so what's the relevance of Rias Pnei Habayis? Pay attention carefully. Din Rias Pnei Habayis Hainu She'oz Hukvau LeTevel. The Chiyuv Tevel that exists later on at a later stage. That sounds a little bit counterintuitive. So he says again, when I'm in the farm, I collect all my fruit, I put it in the basket, and then I start smoothing out. I'm still outside in the farm. Shas Meruach, there's now a moment of Chiyuv Meiser. And it's not until Rias Pnei Habayis that there's a Chiyuv Tevel. So it sounds backwards. So what I think Reb Chaim is understanding here. What?
I think it works well.
Yes, let's see.
Because I think it answers David's.
I think that's what Reb Chaim is saying.
It could be. So it's possible this approach could be. So let's say, what do you think?
No, because it creates the chiyuv. So what's the difference whether the chiyuv is created or there's no iser to eat or kavel? What's the difference? When does the iser tevel come? No iser tevel until it goes into the house.
Correct. So that's exactly what he's saying, which I think is very interesting. It's not this simple understanding. If I were to ask somebody which would come first, you would think that the Isser Tevel would come prior, if any, would come prior to the
Chiyah. Unless the food is
no, but he says it's different. I can have a Chiyah Meiser in the field before there's actually an Isser Tevel.
Right, because there's no Isser Tevel unless there's a Chiyah Meiser.
No, but I would think, but then we're saying there can be a Chiyah Meiser without there being an Isser Tevel, though, which is interesting. Meaning the idea behind Tevel, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, based on Gemara Nida. When there's an Isser Tevel, why is there an Isser Tevel on, let's say, a challah? When I have a challah, I've got a dough, or any of the Tevel that we're talking about here. Is the Isser Tevel, Rav Yosef Enk also has a Chakir about this. When there's an Isser Tevel, is that because there's Meiser, or there's Chumar Challah within it? The Gemara Nida sound like there's actually challah here. I just need to find where the challah is, but it's here. Isser Tevel is about there being present, embedded within the dough, embedded within the fruit. There's a Chiyuv Meiser. There's some Meiser somewhere. I just need to figure out where that Meiser is. Or the Chiyuv Tevel is not because there's Meiser here. I create Meiser. When I say this is Meiser or this is Chuma, I'm creating that. The Chiyuv Tevel simply, as a Gavra, since I have obligation to take Meiser, Chuma or Chala, there's a Chiyuv Isser Tevel for me to eat this until I've done my mitzvah. But there's no Chuma embedded within the dough. There's no Chala in the dough. There's no Meiser Chuma in the fruit. It doesn't exist until I create that. So this chakirat of the tevel depends on the iser of the chiyah meiser. So I would just think that whenever there's a kiyim, whenever I get there's a chiyah meiser, there should mimela be a chiyah of tevel as well. They should go hand in hand because they're very much related. Whether you assume the fruit has chuma embedded within or not, there's certainly a very strong correlation between the two. The Chiddush Reb Chaim, I'm not saying it's not understandable, but the Chiddush Reb Chaim is, you could have a Chiyah Meiser here, and then later on, a later stage, the Tevel could come on top of that. That's all it's pointing out. Now, I think you have to assume, though, he takes the side of the Chakira, that has to be the fruit that's embedded within. I think you have to take that assumption. Why am I saying that? Yeah?
Why wouldn't it be the opposite, that you're only going to have that problem when... If it would be embedded within, then you wouldn't be able to create that differentiation between when Tevel comes. You'd have a problem with creating that. It's only when it's a separate Chiyuv that comes from the Gavra that you would be able to then create it later. Otherwise, how would you come to that Chakira? How would you understand it in that side of the Chakira, according to Rav Chaim or Rav Chanan?
He says, see, if I have a Chiyuv as a Gavra to take Meiser, so then... I'm sorry, I hear what you're saying. So then, as a chepsa, there could be a disconnect between me as a gavra and the chepsa does not yet have that. But if you say that the chepsa has the chuma meiser embedded within, so the mele chepsa then should have the chiyuv tevel on top of that. I hear what you're saying. I hear that.
No, it doesn't have that. Yeah.
I understand why one can't be independent of the other.
I guess if you certainly can be mechalik, but I guess if you simplify just saying it's a chepsa versus a gavra, so that if they're both about the chepsa, so then it seems like it's harder to disconnect the two. If one's about the Chiyah Meiser and me as a Gavra, but there's nothing embedded within, and the Tevel's certainly on the Chepsa, everyone agrees the Tevel's on the Chepsa. The question is the Chiyah Meiser also on the Chepsa, or the Chiyah Meiser's on the Gavra? So then if you assume that they're separate, one, the Chiyah Meiser's on the Gavra, and the Tevel's on the Chepsa, then there's, I think, more room, like you're saying, to separate between the two. As opposed to if they're both about the Chepsa, then once you say there's a Chiyah Meiser embedded within, the Memela should also be the Tevel on top. I hear, makes sense. I'm not entirely sure what his sheet is in general. But either way, that's the sheet of Reb Chaim, and maybe you're saying that's what Reb Chanan was coming at. So again, Reb Chaim says, the Shas Me Ruach is when there's a Chiyah Meiser, but the Isser Tevel doesn't come till later on, but Shas Ries Pnei Bias. Maybe that's what Reb Chanan meant. This man Chiyah doesn't kick in. But I'm not so sure. His language is man, this man Chalos Chiyah Vapoel. He doesn't refer to Tevel even. So I'm not so sure if he really means the same thing.
Do Kohanim have the right to come and take Meiser?
If the Baal has not been mafresh anything, I don't think they have the right. There is a discussion when it comes to Bechor, famous sugi in Bamatsi about Takva Kohen. If I have a Bechor that's born to my property, that's already a Bechor. And if he takes it, if I have the right to give to anyone I want. But let's say he comes along and takes it from anyways. Exactly, because it's already understood. By Chuma and Meiser, I'm not sure.
Well, the Torah teaches Tevel from the Chuma, sir. What are they based everything on? Is it based on Tevel? And I know here it's going back and forth, but is it based on Tevel or is it based on Truma? That you have to give Truma? There's no concept of Tevel, you just have to give.
No, there is an Isser to Tevel, but it must not be clear from the Pesukim which one is causing which. Okay, so that's the third Chita. Again, we have the Mikdash David, who's everyone agrees right now Shas Meruach is the Chiyuv Meiser. It's just what exactly is being accomplished by Rias Pnei Bais. So the Mikdash David says Rias Pnei Bais knocks out the Hetev Achilles Arai, turns everything into Achilles Keva. The Kovit Shurim says the Rias Pnei Bais is the Zman when you now have to do it. And Rav Chaim says it's about the Rias Pnei Bais is when there's a Chiyuv Tevel that comes in later on, even though there's an earlier Chiyuv Meiser. Now the Meiri writes, I think we have the Meiri here in the pages. Yes, the Meiri writes, so let's see exactly where this Meiri is. We're being thrown off by his different Tur Sadaf. But I believe the Meiri writes here that the Chir, maybe it's in the base of a Chir, this is the Chidushim, right? Like in the base of a Chir, the Meiri has two Svarim. He has the Chidushe Meiri, which is the one, I apologize, and the base of Bechira, which is another set. In the base of Bechira, I'm not saying, oh, here we go. Maybe he says it right here. Yeah, so if you see, look at the Meiri, he writes in the first opinion here, that he really thinks that the Rias Pnei Bais is really the Koveya. And then he brings the other opinion that really Shas Meruach is, the Koveya. But at the end of the day, he assumes it's really Shas Rias Pnei Bais, which is different than everything we've seen thus far. Okay, fine. That's the Shas, that's the Shita of Miri. Then you look at the Ra'ah and the Ritva. The Ra'ah and the Ritva are very interesting. They both are of the same opinion. They think that there really seem to be two tracks here. Two different teams. Yeah.
Just quickly, you just said the Miri, he just holds by the house as the Iker.
Exactly.
And we're not having any discussion why he says that.
Yeah, exactly, right. He just said, that's what he says. Exactly. He had the two Gemaras, and he dealt with it, saying that really, it sounds like Rashi, that you really need both. You need Meruach plus Rias Pnei Bais, but Rias Pnei Bais is really what's Mechayev the Meiser. That's what it sounds like from the Meiri. Now, what the Ra'ah and the Ritva both say is that they're really two dinim. They say as follows. Really, the Shas Meruach is what's Mechayev. And once you have the Shas Meruach, once you've spread and smoothed out the fruit, there's a Chiyuv Tevel, there's a Chiyuv Meiser. But let's say a person did not do the Meruach. They did everything else. They put all the fruits in their baskets. They didn't do Meruach. That's the last thing. They didn't do that last Meiser. And then they brought it into their house before doing the Meruach. Then the Rias Pnei Bais will be Mechayev Meiser as well. So what happens is, let's say you've done everything. You've done all the melachas of the grains. You've cut them, you've grinded them, you've sifted them, you've separated between them, you ground, and you got to flour. Now you have this hump of flour, but you haven't smoothed it out yet. But there's a big hump of flour in your basket. So now there are two tracks I could take in order to turn this flour into teva. Either I'm going to do meruach, wherever I am, I spread the flour and make a very nice basket of flour, and that's going to be mechayev me, or I'm going to bring this big mound of flour into my house without meruach, and that bringing it to the house will be mechayev me and mice as well. They're two different tracks. Either you need this or one or the other one. You don't need both of them. That's what he says. So the Gemara in Lamed Hay is talking about when you've done Rias Pnei Bais without meruach, and the Gemara on Lamed Aleph is talking about when you did meruach without Rias Pnei Bais. Two different tracks, but they accomplish the same thing. That's the understanding of the Ra'ah and the Ritva. And in light of that, he says, let's say though, I've done everything but one step earlier. I think they refer to it as Naki. There's a stage before Meruach. I don't know exactly what stage it refers to. So you haven't done the last two stages now. Then I bring it into my house, missing the last two stages. And then in the house, I did the Nikoy of some sort and then Meruach. Then I'm pater from Meiser forever. The only time Meruach works and Pnei Bayis works if it's the very last melacha. But if I'm missing two melachos and I bring it to the house, then Rias Pnei Bayis will be ineffective and you'll be putter for Meiser forever. Okay. And we'll do one last shita here. We'll end a little bit earlier today. Even though I thought this was going to be a two-week chabur, we'll just do it all in 1 week, get it done with, and we'll move on. The last opinion is the Ravid. So we had the Rambam. Here we go. The Rambam said that the real Shas Chiya Meiser is the Gemar Melacha, which is going to be the Shas Meiruach. And then the Ravid has a comment, very interesting. And this was not, maybe it was in the last sheet. Yeah, perhaps on the last sheet here. Okay. Right. So the Ravid writes that Omar Ram Chutz Medagon Tirosh V'Yitzar She'asan Begoron Umarchan D'Gemar Malachtan D'Hanu Begoron V'Yakob Tlal Rachmanam. So he says is as follows. There's a chilek between different types of foods. So we spoke about, we mentioned prior in the past, I try to say this each time I teach this, that Midiraisa, what's chayv in Truman Meiser is degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarcha. Those three items are chayv midiraisa. Degancha is grains, tiroshcha is wine and grapes, and yitzarcha is olives and olive oil. Those three, according to all Rishonim, are chayv midiraisa. There's a machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and the Rambam, whether sharp peros are chayv midiraisa or midirbanam. And everybody agrees the third category of rakos, vegetables, are all chayv only midirbanam. So it says the Ravid, it depends what food we're talking about. When it comes to dagan, Tirosh v'yitzar, then doing the meruach, even in the field, will be mechayv midiraisa. When it comes to the other peros, then it's not until the rias pnei bayis that's mechayv it. Because he said, since the pasuk is directly talking about digancha, tirosh v'yitzarcha, that's the context of the discussion of meruach, when it's talking about, remember, he doesn't say the exact pasuk here. What was the pasuk? Do you remember what the pasuk was about shas meruach? What did the Gemara say? That was in Laman Aleph, I think, right?
What does he say about the previous discussions we just had?
Degancha itself means, degancha means that stage. Right, exactly. So degancha means when you've gotten the grains to the point of being a flat flour, that stage of meruach. So in the context of degancha, it's referring to degancha tirosh chavitzarcha. So only those three items of food have to have meruach. It's the shas meruach that is mechayv meiser. But all other fruits which are not mentioned in the Torah, even though they might be deraisa.
So Ravid does agree with the Rambam that shas meruach are chayv deraisa?
That's what it sounds like. He doesn't argue on that point.
But the only chilek is whether meruach is
mechayv. Exactly. I don't recall, and I'm holding obviously in all his Rambam, but I don't recall the Ravid being of the opinion arguing on the Rambam in that regard by Shar Peres. I think he agrees. I don't think he argues on that. Actually, you can look right in the beginning here. I think it's in the beginning of Meiser.
Maybe what do you say about all the previous opinions? That it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the food itself.
This is a different opinion. The Ravid thinks differently. The Ravid thinks that when it comes only to those mentioned in the Torah, the Gancha, Tirosh, Chavitarcha, only those are Chayiv. The Meiser kicks in Mishas Meiruach. When it comes to other peros which are not mentioned in the Torah, even though they might be of Deraisa level, it's not until Rias Pnei Bayis that we have a chiv of the chiv of Meiser kicks in.
Right. So what's he saying about all the previous discussions we just had for the last half hour?
No, he had two different Gemaras. So right. He says one Gemara is talking about those three items, the other Gemara is talking about other fruits.
Gotcha. What does he say about all the other things we just said?
He argues. No, he argued. Like anything else, we have a whole machlokas and range of opinions. So they just understood differently. We had one question, and they all gave answers.
I know, but all the other people, I thought they were in the same.
They were all similar. They were, but the Ravid was
a
Rishon.
Like a whole different.
The Ravid was a Rishon. The Ravid has the shoulders to say whatever he wants, as long as it makes sense. I mean, right. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, right. It makes sense to him. He can say whatever he wants. So he thought it had a different answer, which is fine. There were no like real strong proofs in any direction, for that matter. It was really an open question. So methodologically, we have like every range out there in the Rishonim. If you're interested in ranges, you have some say that Rias Pnei Bayis is the Iker, which is the Miri. Others say Shas Meruach is the Iker, which is most other exclamations. Some say,
No, but I'm saying, shouldn't we go back and look at the Rashi from this perspective, that maybe even Rashi is looking at it this way or something like
You
that.
Could look back at Rashi. I think it's a very nice thing to do, but you have to see if does Rashi mean that.
That's so, what I mean. I'm saying, because now we're looking at it from a totally different perspective. Maybe it pays to... with that hat on when you go look at the Rashi this time?
I think methodologically that's a great point. When you read Rashi, we usually just take Rashi just as an explanation. We don't really pick up on any nuances that he's pointing out to us. He says, after you've learned all the Rishonim, and now you have all the different approaches in your mind, if you look back at Rashi, you could try to hopefully glean what he's trying to get at. But he doesn't always weigh in. So if you look back at Rashi and you want to take a look, I don't think he says, I don't think he fits into any of these camps. But I think methodologically, I think you're right. That's the best way to understand Rashi. After you've understood everyone else before him, then Rashi, who's so terse, you look back and say, oh, that's what that extra word meant. He's trying to indicate that shita or that shita. But I don't see any indication here in Rashi how he takes a side here.
What does it mean with the one where you're skipping the two steps, right? Mm-hmm. That you don't have to ever take Moser.
Right.
So
he says that...
Finish it in your house? What are you doing?
Right. So that's what he said, that the Ra and the Ritva, what they're getting at is that since you brought it into your house and then you do the final two stages in your house, then it doesn't work anymore. Rias Pinat Bias only works if it happened at the last stage. If you had Rias Pinat Bias before the last stage and then you finish everything else afterwards, then you've messed up the whole Seder of everything and it won't work anymore. Okay, so let's recap here and we'll conclude today.
Do we have any kind of conclusion on this?
No. This is there's no halach lemaisa. Oh, there is halach lemaisa. That's not true. There, Zrum is still midiraisa in Eretz Yisrael. There's no conclusion on this really. There's no Shulchan Aruch on Zrum. Very little that talks about Zrum stuff. I don't know how we paskin. The Chazon Ish spent a lot of time writing on these inyanim of Zrum. I'm not sure how we paskin. I don't know. But this was just more of a lamda shashir as opposed to halach lemaisa shir. Hopefully, one day for us it'll be halach lemaisa. But Chutz La'aretz is not really halach lemaisa. But in terms of the lamdas,
yeah. But if we take the previous classes that we've been taking, and if we're zochet, someone will do the work for us. Maybe that.
We have to tell them what to do still, though.
Maybe it takes away some obligations.
Right. So let's recap then. So we have the Gemara in Lamed Hey, which says it's about Shas Me Ruach. The Gemara in Lamed Aleph, which says it's about Ries. Other way around. Sorry. The Gemara in Lamed Hey is about Ries Pnei Bias. Lamed Aleph is about Shas Me Ruach. How do we square the two? So we had a few opinions that really Shas Me Ruach is the Chi'ikr Maisa, that's Chayv in Maiser, and really it's a Rias Pnei Bias, which is accomplishing a second din. So according to Mikdash David, the Rias Pnei Bias simply neutralized the Heter V'Achilas Arai. According to the Koret Shurim, Rav Chanan Wasserman says that the Rias Pnei Bias was the Zman when to do the actual Maiser. Rav Chaim says the Rias Pnei Bias was there to turn the fruit into a chiv tevel. Fine. We saw the Miri that said it's nothing to do with Shas Meruach, it's actually the opposite. It's really the Shas Rias Pnei Bias, which is chayiv in Mai. So he takes the other approach. And then you had the Rav Ritva, who had two tracks. Either one works. If you're in the field and you do Meruach, Meruach would be mechayiv in Mai. If you bring it to the home, it's a Rias Pnei Bias, which is going to be mechayiv in Mai. And finally, so the Ravid, who said there's a distinction between which types of fruits. If it's the foods that are mentioned in the Torah, Degancha, Tiyoshcha, Vitzarcha, then the Pesukim are Talay on Meruach. If it's any other fruit, then it's Talay on the Rias Pnei Bias. Okay, so we'll stop here. And then, Mirz Hashem, next week we're going to get into back to Hilchos Brachos topics of the Bracha on wine and grape juice.